CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Hi, this is Tate Pierce, the driver of the number 81 Chevy Monte Carlo Tim Brink Underground Special, and we're live on Real Racing USA.
The following program is a presentation of Short Track America.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Hey, Terry, I tell you what, you know, we were up at the race at New Smyrna Speedway, and there was one race car driver who he almost stole the show with his stuff, man. He hit the wall, tore upside down, tore his car up, got back out and actually finished the race, and he's with us tonight on ASA Fastlane. How you doing, Dylan Oliver?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're pretty good.
I understand your nickname is Drillin' Dylan.
I got that nickname back when I raced Legends cars.
Well, I'm sure that you lived up to your nickname on Saturday night with the car upside down and down. How does it look, New Smyrna Speedway, upside down?
Well, actually, all I could see was sparks in the asphalt, so that's about all I can tell you about being upside down. I didn't like it too well.
Yeah, but seriously, all of that aside, you know, you did have a pretty rough ride there, but what you guys did to go out and actually get the car ready and make the race, and not only make the race, but finish that race, which was a very, very, you know, only 16 cars finished, so you have to be pretty commended for that, Dylan.
Yeah, I really have to thank my crew on that. I was running around getting parts, and they was putting what they could back on it without, putting it back on the scales and getting everything perfect. There really wasn't any way to get it back the way it was when we got it to the track, so we replaced some broke stuff and left some bent stuff on the car and used about two rolls of duct tape to hold the body together, and went out there, started 28th and was running in the top 12, and kind of had a brain fart, I guess you could say, and pulled down pit road. I thought they were black flagging me, and I jumped to the conclusion, you know, and because I figured I had all that duct tape and parts flying off the car, I didn't want to put anybody else in danger, so went ahead and pulled in the pits, and then found out later that it wasn't me, they were black flagging, and sped down pit road just a little bit, and they pulled my scorecard for 5 laps. I ended up finishing 15th.
Yeah. I didn't know that you got, that's how you ended up going down the pit road and getting the black flag. So you thought you were getting a black flag, then you did get one.
Right.
Yeah. So what we do on the show is we try to, like, let fans know about the drivers in the ASA and get to know them a little bit better, so when they go to the races, they know you guys a little more. So tell us about how you got started in racing and a little bit about your racing career and your background.
Okay, yeah. My dad raced for probably 10 or 12 years, and I was always around his stuff, and in 2000, I came to him, well, actually late 99, early 2000, came to him and told him that I wanted to drive a race car, so we bought an open wheel cart, and I competed in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky, at a dirt track there, and I won like 5 or 6 races and finished second in the points my first time in a car, and I was only 10. And then in 2001, I raced mini cups, and Bowling Green, Kentucky at Beach Bend, which is my home track. I won 6 races there and won the track championship and rookie of the year title in 01. Then in 02, I raced there again in the Mini Cup and won, I think it was 15 out of 20 races and won the championship again. And then in 2003, I raced Legends Cars at Nashville, the fairgrounds, and Kentucky Motor Speedway, and I won 2 races and finished 4th at Nashville in the points. 2004, I started 50 races in a Legends car and won 38 of them, and I won 5 championships that year, including the national championship, semi-pro championship. I went 6-for-6 at Nashville and won the Thursday Night Thunder there. I won the Valvoline Cup Championship, Kentucky State Champion, and the Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana Legends Tour Championship.
Well, that's quite a resume, Dylan.
Just so
38
the,
out of 50?
So the Legends was...
I earned the Thrillin' Dylan thing, the nickname, at because I was racing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and... sometimes I would get to the track late and I wouldn't make qualifying, and I'd start in the back and would still win the race.
Wow.
So that's where I earned that nickname from, because there was one time I raced at Kentucky Motor Speedway, started 3rd and won there on Sunday morning, and then drove to Fairgrounds, which is a good 4.5-hour ride, and raced Sunday night.
Mm.
And I had to start 18th and won that race. And lapped up to 4th place in 25 laps.
Holy
wow.
cow. In a Legends car?
Right.
Now, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people who you know, learned the race, really, in the Legends. And give us your take on why the racing in a Legends car is such a good thing to do.
Well, honestly, if you're not real keen on dirt racing... Like, I'm not real big on dirt racing. A Legends car keeps you on asphalt, but it also allows you to learn throttle control and car control and just lets you have a better feel for what you're doing in a race car.
Yeah.
That's my personal take on it. Now, a lot of people don't think that you can transfer anything from what you learn in a Legends car to a bigger car, because you can jerk a Legends car around and
throw
around 2,700 pounds like you could a little Legends car.
Well, having said that, there's a couple people in NASCAR right now that started out in Legends car. A couple brothers, the Busch brothers.
Right.
In Las Vegas, that's what they started out in. They started out in a Legends car on dirt. And I talked to somebody that raced against them. He said their cars were rickety, looked like they're falling apart, but they won every race, so that's good training ground, I think, to start up because of exactly what you said, Dylan. You have to have throttle control and a hand-eye coordination on the Legend car because they're quick steer. They're a quick steer car, I believe, aren't they?
Well, you don't have a rack or a gearbox or anything like that. There's no, or you have a rack, you don't have a gearbox.
Right.
No power steering or anything like that. So
right.
Well,
all right. And then where'd you go from the Legends car? You went straight to the late model?
Yeah, actually, I had Dale Earnhardt Jr. came to Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is my hometown, like I said. He came to the Corvette plant, and we knew some people at the Corvette plant, and it was a private deal. So there wasn't supposed to be anybody from, you know, outside the Corvette plant. No, I can't think
right.
of that. But... anyway, I got in and got to actually speak to Dale Jr. And I told him what I had done in a Legends car. And see, he raced Legends cars, too.
Right.
And I told him my accomplishments in 2003 and 2004. And he said, and I asked him what I could do to further my career. And he said the best thing for me to do if I've done that much in a Legends car is to get a big car. So we bought a late model in 2005, and I raced at Beach Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Finished 2nd in points to Bo Miller there.
He's a good driver, Bo Miller.
Yes, he is. do like the Freddie Quarry of Concord here more in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He has many track championships, but I finished second to him in points in 05. And then in 2006, I began racing the ASA series and finished third in points last year. And this year, we're going for the championship. You know, we haven't gotten off to a real good start. I mean, we started 21st and finished 5th at Cordell, Georgia, at Watermelon Capital Speedway. And I was running 4th with 20 laps to go at Bronson. And a car spun in front of me, and I stopped to keep from hitting him. And I got sent to the back because they said that I was involved in the crash. But I ended up finishing 11th there in the last 20 laps. I came from 20th and finished 11th.
And that's a tough track to pass on.
Very
yeah, Bo Miller used to run at Highland Rim Speedway. You're familiar with Highland Rim. I used to work at Highland Rim. And I'm living in Madisonville, Kentucky now, not too far from you.
Well,
and
I've moved to Mooresville here with my crew chief.
Oh, okay.
That's a smart move, I think, huh?
Yeah, that's actually where I'm at now. He has a shop where he sells parts for like late model stock cars and ARCA cars and things like that, and does body fabrication work and stuff like that. So I keep my cars here, and he travels with us on the weekend.
So are you doing any other racing during this year other than the ASA?
No, sir. We're a very low budget team, so we're trying to get by right now with running ASA, and it's kind of put us in a small bind after New Smyrna, but we're going to be in Birmingham, and actually, I'm trying to be able to make the motor mile race in Radford, Virginia, because I was dominant there last year in the ASA car,
yeah.
But it's a challenge race. If we don't make it, it's not going to hurt us, but...
Right, you give it a shot anyway.
Right.
That's, what were you going to say there, Terry?
Oh, I was just, I actually forgot.
Okay.
But, yeah, are you going to try and make Bristol if you're a low budget team? You need some help. And anybody listening out there, this young gentleman would be a good one to put your money on.
There you go. Hey, you know, you got some advice and some assistance from Joey Clanton from time to time. Is that correct?
Well, actually, Joey Clanton is the crew chief for John West Hanley, the Zaxby's Brothers Racing Team.
Right.
But basically, I've talked with him a few times. He helped us out in Texas last year. We had my steering rack came apart on us, and I qualified with no power steering there. And that's a tough track to handle. It's shut down now, but he helped us out a little bit last year. And well, we talked to him. I mean, he don't really help us out, but he was one of the first people at the car when the car stopped at New Smyrna, because he said he'd been upside down before, and he knew the first instinct was to release your seatbelts and try to get out of the car. And he got to me before I'd done that, so I wouldn't fall on my head.
Now, you had raced at New Smyrna before, hadn't you?
No, sir. That was my first time.
That was your very first time there?
Yes.
Yeah. So what'd you think of that track as far as racing on it?
I like the track a whole lot. I think we're going to go try to run the during Speed Week there.
Yeah. Yeah, some pretty good competition during the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing at New Smyrna each year. It's people come from all over. It's 9 nights of craziness, boy. I tell you, it's a wild place in those 9 nights.
Have you planned on running the whole year? And are you a rookie? That was my question before. You're a rookie this year, aren't you, Dylan?
Not an ASA, no. Last year was my rookie year in ASA, and I finished third in points.
Now, last year when you ran, did you make every single race?
Well, I raced every race, but I was real good like everywhere I went. But unfortunately, we had 3 DNFs, and I still finished third in points.
I gotcha.
This year, our main focus is to finish every race and get as many top tens as we can get. Come on with the championship.
So how is it any different this year? How do you see it as being different? Is the series different in the South now than it was last year?
Well, there's still the small guys like me running against all that big money, such as the Zaxby's team and all that. But basically there's just a few more cars showing up at every race, and Ron Varney's trying to promote the series a little more, and I think it'll be good in years to come.
Yeah. So the competition, how would you rate the competition this year? I mean, obviously you were on top of it all year to finish third. How do you rate the competition this year as compared to what you ran against last year?
Well, really, I can't base it on last year because some of those Florida guys weren't allowed to run with us last year. Ron let them run, but they ran with built motors and two-barrel carburetors and all that different stuff. But the rules are a little different this year, and they have to be like us to run with us. And the first three races have been in the Florida area, so some of those guys have more experience on the racetrack. But once we get to running up here in North Carolina and at Hickory, and we go to Orange County Speedway and Missouri and all that, I think the competition will be right back where it was last year.
Yeah. You know, I had thought about that myself, that things were going to change once you get up to get. In August, I mean, we've got Birmingham coming up here on July 14th, but then there's the trip up to Orange County Speedway in North Carolina, and then a couple of Georgia stops, Missouri. Actually, these North Carolina races, you got Hickory is in October. It is a lot of – is the travel tough on – like you talked about not having, significant major sponsorship and so forth. Is the travel a big part of the expense, or is?
Yes, the travel, that's the bad part. Going to New Smyrna, that for my parents, that was a 12.5 or 13-hour drive to New Smyrna from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Right.
It was about a 7.5-hour drive from Mooresville, North Carolina. And
sure.
Long trips like that. Or what drains some of these teams, some of these low-budget teams that have to travel that far. I mean, basically, we only buy one set of tires every weekend. That's the set to race on.
Right.
So you spend about $1,250 to $1,500, you know, once you get to the racetrack after fuel and entry fees and all that. But the big expense is getting to the racetrack, especially with gas prices now.
Yeah, sure enough. So now during the week you're working on cars all the time, right?
Right. That's I'm one of a few drivers left out there that still work on their own stuff. So
Yeah. Well,
I think Dylan that you're on the right path. I think ASA is the way to go nowadays because of the crate motors.
Right.
I know a lot of people want to run the late models and have all that speed, but the cost of a crate motor and the ASA car is down tremendously compared to a late model deal, and I think that's why there's so many cars showing up, and a lot of the NASCAR guys, Childress and Gibb and Roush and all them, they're watching the ASA. I know they are, and I know there's some guys in the ASA who's gotten calls. Kelly Byers is in that in the Truck Series, and then you got Stephen Light who's in the Busch Series. So if you keep working hard and we promote you in Carnac, there's going to be people looking at you.
Exactly. That's basically what I'm working towards because I have to get a ride with somebody in order to make it. You know, I'm not going to be one of those kids that can pay my way to NASCAR. I'm going to have to show what I can do in the race car, show that I'm smart, show that I can pass cars and use patience, and hopefully someone will pick me up.
And you're 17 right now, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, it's I think you showed a lot of people. You got definitely had some people paying attention to you at New Smyrna. And when you go on to Birmingham here, is there anything special you guys will do to prepare for that, or you just go there and show up and give it your best shot?
Just like everywhere else, show up and give it our best shot. And usually we're pretty close when we get to the racetrack. But we're not going to be – we're not able to work on the car the whole 3 weeks to get it, you know, perfect the way we want to for when we get to the track. Because right now I've been working since the day after we got back from New Smyrna, putting the new body on the car and fixing all the bent stuff. And right now I got left to do is trim a hood, cut front glass and back glass, and the body will be mounted, and then I got to send my rear end off and get two tubes put in it.
All right.
But you don't get any help during the week with some buddies or some volunteers?
Well, see, actually, last year we were based in Bowling Green, which is where my dad's at. But this year, my crew chief, Morris Van Vliet, with Morris Motorsports here in Mooresville,
right.
He asked us to move, asked us what we thought about moving my racing stuff down here. And so that's what we've done over the winter. We transferred everything over, and I keep my car here.
Mm.
And it's basically me working on it, and when he gets a chance to do something, you know, when he gets a chance to help me on it,
right?
He helps when he's not, you know, messing with his business. But other than that, anybody else that used to help us is in Bowling Green.
Right, right.
I have a buddy that lives in Tennessee named Tyler Slade that still races Legends cars. He's 19, I think. He works a full-time job, and the only time he can show up is on the weekends also. So
right.
Basically, it's me here working on it all the time and Maury helping. So it's just us two.
All right. Well, you know, how many NASCAR teams are based in Bowling Green?
There's not.
And how many are in Mooresville?
Oh, it's tough to count.
Yeah. It's a pretty simple equation. I have a friend, Scott McAllister, who works and does some development work for, you know, helps some drivers with media and does a lot of the same stuff but Terry and I do. But, you know, that's primarily his focus. And, you know, he tells people every day, you want to make it and get a ride in NASCAR? You haven't moved to North Carolina yet?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's
the only thing in Kentucky is the Brewer organization, Claire's Brewer. He's in, I can't think of it, the city right now, but he's not too far from Madisonville or Bowling Green. That's the 27 car that Ward Burton drives and the 37 car that Greg Biffle drives in the Busch Series.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So
there is one.
Yeah, I got some contacts there too, Dylan. So I may give you a shout out to the Clarence Brewer team and have them take a look at you.
Todd Wilkerson actually knows my name. So maybe.
Okay,
there you go, man. Well, yeah, we wish you the best of luck throughout the rest of this year and at Birmingham coming up, and we'll be keeping an eye out for you, man. It was a pleasure to meet you over there at New Smyrna, and. Hopefully you'll have a better situation when you get to Birmingham later this month.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we'll be fast.
All right, man.
All right.
We'll keep an eye out for you. Dylan Oliver. Thanks a lot, Dylan. All right.
Hey, another 17-year-old driver, Jack, that is on the ball. I mean, he does all the work on the car. He drives the cars. He fixes the cars. And not many 17-year-olds can do that.
Yep. And I'll tell you something. It was an interesting week in the ASA, too. You know, Charlie Menard won for the very first time ever. ASA went to Canada and to race in the Canada 200 and up at Cuyahoga Speedway Park in Ontario, Canada.
Right.
And Charlie Menard won. And interestingly, that moves him into second in points behind Travis Dassault, who still has the lead. So you got two Wisconsin drivers leading the Challenge Series. Imagine that.
I'm not surprised.
Imagine that. Two Wisconsin guys lead the ASA. Okay, there you go. And the Rookie of the Year got pretty much under control at the moment by Derek Thorne from Lakeport, California. But Sean Murphy, who we had on the ASA Fastlane a few weeks ago, is in second in the running for the Rookie of the Year in the ASA Challenge Division.
Well, it's going to be a challenge all year long, and I'm really looking forward to the rest of the year to Birmingham and obviously Bristol.
Yes, and we're going to be we have to mention again five star racing bodies.
Right.
Do you have that paperwork on five star there, or have we?
No, I think I'll be ready with the five-star commercial before the next break.
All right.
And I'll be ready with the Power Master commercial before the next break also.
All right.
The Power Master has signed on with ASA Fastlane and also Five Star Bodies. And a new sponsor that we're going to just mention for now is Port City.
That's right.
Racing chassis have come on board also.
Port City Racing. There you go. Yep. Those are the people that help the racers on the weekends and
yep.
and help us do these kind of shows during the week, and we certainly appreciate it.
Yep.
But meanwhile, let's take a break and hear a word from some of our other sponsors, and we'll be back with the ASA Fastlane.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Welcome back to the ASA Fastlane. I'm Jack Smith. I'm here with Terry Wall, of course, my co-host every week, and joining us now from South Carolina, Jimmy Lang, driver of number 86 ASA late model. Welcome to the ASA Fastlane, Jimmy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing, man. We're doing. Getting ready for the 4th of July. I'm sure you are, too, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, but race drivers don't take a day off.
No,
do they, Jimmy?
Actually, no, not really. Actually, right now, we're in North Carolina right now in Charlie Langenstein's garage. We're building another late model right now.
For the ASA?
Yes, sir. We're going to have a backup car. We'll probably use the car we got now for a backup car because we got a little more tricks and stuff on this car. It'll probably be a little better.
All right.
We'll probably race this car. I'm not sure if we're going to make it for Birmingham or not to run this new car, but probably the next race after Birmingham.
Yeah, but you will go to, you will be in Birmingham, won't you?
Oh, yes, sir, we'll be there.
Yeah.
You don't want to trick up the motor, Jimmy.
Oh, no, it's just a couple little different things. I mean, it's just a little different to the car from other cars. So.
You can call Jason Boyd on that motor trick.
All right, so. Terry. Terry, quit picking.
I heard about that. What number was he?
He was number
26.
Yeah, 26.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they had some wrong pistons in the car, and apparently that's why they bought it. But
they had a bunch of lightweight, like a couple of lightweight things in that motor too. I heard about that.
Yeah, but you
moving
know,
right along.
So what we do on this show, Jimmy, is we're trying here in the early. This is about our 8th or 9th show. What we're doing is we're trying to interview as many of the ASA drivers as we can, and really go into a little detail about your background and so the fans get an idea of get to know the drivers a little bit more rather than just seeing them out there with a number, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you live in South Carolina, and tell us a little bit about your racing background and your career.
Yeah, well, I just graduated high school about a month ago, and We started racing go-karts when I was about 10 years old. You know, we raced a bunch of the WKA, you know, the World Karting Association. We raced a bunch of races at the Nationals and everything. And I think when I was 12 and a half, I sat in a legend car. We ran all the shootouts and everything. And all in Atlanta, Charlotte. We raced everywhere from Kansas to Pennsylvania to wherever we was making races. Yeah, I think I was 14. Well, yeah, I was 14 when I sat in my first late model, and I won my second race in the late model.
Where was that at?
That race where I won that was at Cordell. That's my favorite track right now is Cordell, Georgia.
Yeah, that's cool.
The recent race in Cordell, we didn't do too good, but yeah, we had just a little problem. We had problems there. I mean, after it rained there, you know, we was on the track 40 minutes after it got done raining, and I barely, on the back straightaway, I barely chopped my right sides off the track. Normally you do that because you're trying to let the car be as free as possible. You normally do it, and it just comes just right back on the track.
Oh, you went out there in the cornfield.
Yeah, I jumped the ditch and everything because the track, it was wet, and they dried the track, but right on the, just like 2 inches off the pavement, it's actually like dirt, that clay, that Georgia clay, and when it's wet, I tell you, it's really, really slippery. And when they dropped the right side, that dropped off, there wasn't no stopping it. And I tried turning left and everything, and it kept on going straight. And I locked up the brakes. They saw me. They thought it was all locked up, and it was just going straight. That was a real wild ride. I think that was the wildest ride I've ever had in racing.
It got dark out there, too, didn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty dark. They had to get flashlights and everything out there to see, and they had to get flashlights inside my car because I was already unbuckled because I thought I was out there stuck, but I don't know how I got back across there. They had to have flashlights and everything when I get back buckled up and everything.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So now, what did you race last year?
Last year, we was racing the late model a little bit. We made a couple races.
Yeah.
Went off to finish school because I'm racing. I fell a little behind in school, just a little bit, you know. But the last few years, I was homeschooled, and I made it up all then. Just homeschooled, you know, I was taking my schoolwork on the road, different tracks and stuff, you know, doing homework whenever I had a break, you know, practicing or racing. I'd go in the hall and do homework, you know.
Yeah, so do you work with your dad, or do you go into school just school and race?
My dad, you know, he owns a heating and air company. I used to do work summers over there, but now I'm full-time just at the shop with the guys in Hardyville.
Yeah.
Where we have our shop at, and I'm every day out there in the morning with them just doing whatever they tell me to do. I'll do it.
Yeah, and your dad's business now, that's your primary sponsor right now?
Yes, sir, that's the sponsor.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you have any other sponsors you want to mention, Jimmy?
No, that's the whole sponsor, just Lane. Southern Auto Body, who paints the race car. They're awesome. They paint our race cars. They do really good work.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, your parents, they travel with you to all the races? And
yeah, my mom, she'll come down on a Friday afternoon, generally, and just get there and be there for a Saturday, be there for race day.
So why did you guys decide, why did you and your family and your team, why did you decide to try the ASA as opposed to some other racing series?
Well, there was the gas series, but there wasn't that many races in the gas series, and we just there's way more races, there's way more competition in the ASA than there is any day in the gas. I mean, there's just a lot more to it in the ASA.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's a lot more racing involved with ASA. There's more cars, and there's northern, southern, challenger races and everything.
I bet your dad loves the crate motor deal.
Oh, yeah, we had those built motors before we ran when we were allowed to in the gas and then local, you know. You can go buy a crate motor. You can buy almost three crate motors for the price of one built motor. So, yeah, that was awesome when they started that deal.
And you have backup motors since they're so cheap?
Yeah, we got two extras right now. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and you make more power at the crate motor, too, because, you know, you can run a 4-barrel carburetor instead of the 2. So they're all out. They're better.
So basically you went from, if I got that right, you basically went from running carts. I mean, you pretty much went straight to late models, didn't you? Or did I miss something?
Yeah, I hopped out of a legend car and went straight to late model. You know, some people, they run those Allison Legacy cars and stuff. But, yeah, actually, right when I hopped out, the first time I sat in, when I tested the late model, we went to Hickory. And we was actually within, I think, we just went out a few laps, you know, check everything down, come back in, make sure nothing was wrong. And we went back out within 5-6 laps, or maybe like 10 laps, I think it was. We was like a tenth and a half, maybe, yeah, about a tenth and a half off the track record there, off the late models there. So it was pretty crazy. That's the track owner came up to me. He's like, man, you know, how long you been racing these late models? I like that. Actually, this is the first time I've ever sat in a late model. He said, man, you're 10th and a half off the track record right now. And that was pretty cool. So.
And how old are you now?
I'm 18. I'll be 19 in August.
Okay.
What do you think about the stringent tech that you have to go through ASA? That sort of levels the playing field, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's good, you know. We always go there. Like the first race or two, we had to come back to the trailer and, you know, bend the, you know, get the body up, the nose up a little more, you know, because you can be within, like, I think a half inch, you know, off or so. We had to come back. But now every time we go to the track, everything's right. We roll through once, you know, go qualify. But But yeah, that's pretty good. Keep everybody on the same note, you know.
Exactly. So, I mean, what's going to make you happy this year? I mean, what at the end of this season, are you going to race? You're racing all the Southern races, right?
Yeah, that's one reason we're building another car right now. We are, a matter of fact, we're going to run every Southern race, and whenever we're not racing the Southern Series, we're going to go run some Northern, and we're going to, like, I told my dad, I was like, we got to make that track. It's a 7/8. That's a mile. That's like a mile-long track. That's a big track. I mean, I told my dad, we got to make Bristol, no matter what.
Right.
Run on Bristol.
Yeah.
I told Corey Schultz at Five Star Racing Body,
yeah,
that he should have a truck there because he's going to need to sell a few bodies after that race.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you do up at Bronson?
Up Bronson?
Yeah, how did you do in the first two races? I know you had a little bit of, you know, I can't remember what happened up there. I remember very clearly what happened at the Watermelon Capital.
Yeah. Well, at Bronson, we rolled out the trailer on that Saturday when we was practicing. We were third quickest, fourth quickest all day long. And we qualified, I think we qualified eighth, and they inverted it, so we was outside of pole. And, man, I was right there. I was pushing, I forget his name, the 93 car.
Oh, yeah, Pardolo.
Yeah, we would push him around. We was right there with him, like, for 70, 80 laps. And, I told my spotter, it's my crew chief, and I was like, man, if we're under caution, I was like, if we're going to do this, I mean, I'm going to have to get a little more aggressive, and, you know, have to go, because, you know, on that tight track, it's hard to pass. And I was running second for 70 laps, and he said, no, we got to do it as clean as possible, just wait your turn, you know. But sometimes you ask any driver out there, you cannot, you know, just wait. When it's time to go, you have to go. You got to take that chance to go.
Oh, so, okay, you finished fifth in that race, that's right.
Yes, we finished fifth.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Well, that's, yeah, at that track, I mean, Rob will even tell you, you know, he definitely did not have the fastest car out there, and you know, of course, he's familiar with that track. He's raced it in modifieds and late models a lot, and he knew all he had to do is if he stuck
on the bottom and run his line.
Yeah, that's right. If he stayed on the go ahead.
That's what I told my spotter. I was like, we got to go if we're going to go, you know. And then next thing you know, here comes the third place car. He moved me out of the way. He went on, you know. I mean,
Sean Murphy.
Yeah, he just moved me right out of the way, and third and fourth shot by me, and just, you know, for 3-4 more laps to go, you know, and finish fifth. But, I mean, there's a certain way, you know, to move somebody. You do it clean, and it's racing, you know. Racing, you know, you got to race, you know. But then there's another way that's not really racing. It's dirty. Like, just what happened this past weekend, I mean, with Chris Fontaine, I didn't really mention it too much, but, I mean, I think I was 11th or 12th, and Chris Fontaine was right in front of me. And all of a sudden, you know, nothing happened in front of him, and he just, when they threw the green on the restart, all of a sudden he just brake checks me and posed my whole nose up on my car and everything, and I mean, that's not race, you know. Now, if that's first, if you're first or second, you know, that's kind of going to be called for, you know.
Yeah, so you ended up finishing right behind him, huh?
Yeah, I think we was 10th. Right behind him, or a couple cars behind him.
Yeah, you finished behind him.
Yeah, but
yeah,
whenever that happened what was that track?
What's that?
Where we was just at? I just
New Smyrna.
Yeah. New Smyrna. We was when that happened, the nose of my car, the right front fender was pushing on the right front tire for the rest of the race, and then finally the tires went away and the car started getting tight, and then we just started falling back a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to your story about racing dirty and racing clean, you know, you pretty much know who you can race clean against. And race with, and then you pretty much know who you got to really be careful around. And do you think all in all in the ASA series that pretty much everybody's on the same page as far as give and take, or there's some drivers out there that take more than they give?
Yeah, most everybody's on the same page. It's just always everywhere you go, there's going to be those one or two cars that, you know, too aggressive or, you know, something like that. But, yeah, I think ASA is a real good series to be in right now at this spot, this time.
And the competition level is tremendous. I mean, at New Smyrna, there were 39 cars. I think Jack told me there's like 41 or 42 at Watermelon Capital. And then in Bronson, there was about 40. So, and it's going to get better because, like Jack was saying a couple of weeks ago on the ASA Fastlane, that there are like 13, 14 drivers in just Florida alone that's planning on racing in the ASA next year.
Oh, really? Yeah, there's a lot of competition out there. I mean, normally you go to a late model race, you know, there's, you know, 10, 12 cars starting a field, but, you know, you show up at an ASA late model race, there's, you know, there's 40 cars there. You know, that's pretty, you know, Nextel Cup, they got 43, you know, that starts a race, but we have that many showing up, you know, that's pretty good.
How do you, now where do you race, where's the racing up there? In Hardeeville, there's a racetrack there, right?
Yeah, they're they closed it down now, but yeah,
did they?
I won about everything out there, every race. That one race, something happened, and I think my power steering went out, and something was wrong. Something was up with the car, but that was a while back.
So what asphalt tracks you have left in South Carolina?
Oh, there's a dirt track right down there in Savannah, which is about 20 minutes away from me.
Oh, yeah.
Four motors, Oklahoma. But
then you got Florence. Florence got a dirt track, too.
Yeah, and there's one in Screven.
Yep.
Yep, Screven. There's a drag strip right by that one. There's a couple tracks around there.
But,
we just ran Screven, though.
Yeah.
To go off.
And what did you say your favorite track was at the moment?
I mean, I really like Cordell, but that New Smyrna, that was an awesome track. I mean, that's a big, long track, tight corners, you know, big banking. I love a track like that.
Is that the first time you were there, Jerry?
Yeah, that was the first time I ever raced there, and I love that track. And I heard this Birmingham track is supposed to be similar to that, but not as much banking.
Right.
Correct. It's a little longer.
Yeah, it's a little longer track, too. Yeah, it's
a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger track, actually.
Yep.
But New Smyrna, when you if you get a chance to come down and race some of the late model or super late model races in Florida, New Smyrna has some pretty big races during the year. And then in the Winter Nationals, you know, their World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing, they had 9 straight days in January, February. It's awesome, man. People from all over the country. Some pretty good competition.
Sweet. That's cool.
Yeah, but, there's a lot of asphalt racing in Florida, and it's in South Georgia, too. It, you know, of course, the two tracks that you're familiar with there, but...
about also that track that rained out?
Yes.
All the smoke and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to race there. I'm not sure when that rain day was for that race.
Yeah, I think they got them backed up. That's a backed up weekend with, what was it, September, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they already had 3 races back-to-back weekends, right?
Yeah, but that weekend they're going to race one night in there and then the next night at Sonoya. So that should be an interesting weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want to protect your stuff the night before another race.
That's the Friday the 14th is South Georgia Motorsports Park, and that track is absolutely, of course, it's brand new. I mean, it's only a couple years old, but it is really, really nice. I mean, it's a pretty, pretty cool place. And then the next night is Saturday night, September 15th, is a new Sonoya Raceway in Sonoya, Georgia. So,
Sonoya?
Yeah. Is that how you say that?
I hope that race is the second one of the weekend. Cause
it is.
Because a bunch of people, they won a lot of stuff up there, I heard. That was one of my first races there.
Is that right?
We ran into problems, dude. That's when me and Joey Logano got into it there. The whole track was just like, there's cars between 1 and 2. They were just like covering the whole racetrack right there, and it just wasn't nowhere to go.
Yeah, was that in an ASA race?
It might have been a gas race, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you say gas race, Jimmy, could you explain a little bit what that means?
The Georgia Asphalt Series.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, it's based out of Lanier, I believe.
Oh, okay. Jeez.
But it Dylan Oliver was saying, you know, it's, and I've heard other people say it too. You know, it's not. It's a good little series, but it's not anywhere near like what you're saying. The level of the ASA in terms of
nothing.
Competition. Have you raced any of the Challenge Division races yet?
No, not yet. But we're looking forward to whenever we're having. Sometimes we might have a week or two off.
Right.
So we're gonna go catch either a northern race or either a challenger race.
Yeah.
That's what we're gonna do. That's why we're building another car. We'll have more cars, you know.
Well, I'll
tell you. Definitely be at Bristol.
Oh yeah. We're talking about it because I think they're racing on a different compound tire, and you gotta stir 30 stuff up when you go to Bristol. All that banking and stuff.
Right.
If I talk to my dad enough about it, you know, if I want to race, we're gonna go race. I mean, we both love racing a lot.
Right.
We'll go anywhere to race.
All right. It sounds, Terry, I think we got a live one here.
I think so too.
we're
going to feature, may I ask, I don't know what kind of body you run, but is it a 5-star?
Yeah, it's a 5-star.
Okay, good.
There you go.
5-star is one of our sponsors, and we're going to start featuring drivers that run 5-star body. And maybe you can be the first one we feature when we start that program.
So you're getting ready to go to Birmingham. You're going to make that race with one car, right?
Yeah, we're going to be there with one car, yeah. We were going to try to make it to race this new car there, but right now, we're pulling the seat back out of it right now. The seat, when we mounted it, it must have moved when I got out of it. Because we got people at Hendrick, you know, working on our car a little bit. And we got the Hendrix boys up here. They're doing the seat on it, and we're gonna reposition the seat and everything. But yeah, there's not too much slacking on this car, but it takes about probably 4 days to have this car painted and then taken to get it all vinyled and lettered up. So yeah, we're just probably gonna hold off till. And then what's after Birmingham? Do you know, I have to look.
After Birmingham is on August 11th. Is Orange County Speedway up in Rougemont, North Carolina, which is up. That's up there near Raleigh.
Is that a southern race?
Yeah, that's southern race. And then the southern race, I got the schedule right in front of me. The schedule for the southern races, that's the next southern division races in August 11th. And then
my birthday is August 14th, so that's on Tuesday.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, we'll be back. I got to win that one definitely, huh?
Yeah.
Got
the
momentum going in at least.
Yeah, it's a good birthday present right there.
Let's see what that's August 11th, so you got a little bit of time there. And on August the 4th, they have, well, actually on July 21st, the Challenge Division Series goes to Motor Mile Speedway in Radford, Virginia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so you get up there in the mountains. That might be one. That's a four-tenths-mile bank track, and, that might be one for you.
Yeah.
Yep. I think all of them are for Jimmy.
Yeah, the Hooters Pro Cup races. The Hooters Pro Cup race there a lot in the past, and that's a pretty popular racetrack up that area. But I'll tell you what, man, we wish you the best, and thank you for spending some time with us here on the ASA Fast Lane. And Terry's going to be in Birmingham covering the race. I'm not absolutely positive I'm going to be there, but we're trying to make it happen, and hopefully we'll see you there, man.
Yeah, man. Y'all, where's the next race? Y'all going to be in Alabama?
Oh yeah, Terry. Like I said, Terry will be there, and I'll probably be there, but Terry will be there for sure.
Yeah, we'll see you there, man.
All right.
Thanks, Jimmy. And I'll look you up when I get there.
All right. And
take care now.
All right, Jimmy Lang.
Jimmy Lang,
number 86.
That's the racing name. I'm telling you, Lang.
I'm telling you, it absolutely is. So
gonna go places.
All right, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back and wrap up some loose ends with the ASA Fast Lane.
All right.
Here with Brian Bloom, fourth place finisher in tonight's Florida 100 race. Brian, you look a little wore out, but you got to be satisfied with this run.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I don't know how I did it coming from 10th, and had a strong run up to 4th. I thought I was going to keep 3rd, and Boyd was starting to wear out, and I thought I was going to get him, but I'm just happy with the way we finished.
Now, you look like you're really tired out there, but out there on the track, could you feel the heat coming on you?
Yeah, I definitely could. I had no more water in the water bottle, so it made things a little tougher, but in the end, it's awesome.
Anybody you want to thank tonight?
I want to thank my parents. I want to thank Mr. Alan Steyer, Coulter Motorsports, Napa, Extreme Graphics, and Dr. Pepper.
All right, Brian Bloom, finisher in tonight's Florida 100 in the fourth position. Great run for everybody here at New Smyrna Speedway.
All right.
I want to mention a new sponsor of the ASA Fast Lane is Power Master. They already do a little spot on Karnak, but they're going to be involved with the ASA Fast Lane now. In fact, we may have their representative on the show in the future.
Absolutely. And also, we need to talk. Go ahead. You need to tell us a little bit about Five-Star Racing Bodies.
Yeah, Five-Star Racing Bodies is out of Wisconsin. They make all kinds of bodies for late models, modifieds, and they also, as we learned in last week's interview with Corey Schultz, they also make some parts for the Nextel Cup car, which I didn't know. And so they're involved with the Nextel Cup and the ASA. If you want to get a hold of Five-Star Bodies, it's 262-877-2171 and ask for Corey Schultz and tell him the fast ASA Fast Lane. Send him to him. And
you can also, in this digital age, go to Five-Star Racing Bodies on the web, man.
On the web, 5starbodies.com.
There you go. And
Well, Jack, it's been a pleasure, and I want to thank you again for giving me this opportunity.
Man.
I really appreciate it, and I can't wait till next week, even though we're going to have a short week on the deal. But
that's all right.
We'll be on at 8 o'clock next Wednesday night, and we'll be on all week.
All right.
On Karnak and click on ASA Fast Lane, and you'll hear mine and Jack's voice 24/7. Even if you don't want to.
That's right. Even if you don't want to. For myself, Jack Smith, and Terry Wall, hey, have a good 4th of July weekend. And, hey, ASA, America's premier short track series. Good night.